Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody to another fun-filled edition of Sports Urban Legend, along with my co-host Macaulay Matthews. I'm William Ramo. What's up, Macaulay?
Hey, what's up?
What's going on?
Good, man. I'm just looking at some porn sites right now.
All right.
Just kidding.
Well, other than that, how are you doing?
I'm good. Good.
Well, that's good. Well, you know, it's a busy not really a busy sports week. It's been pretty dull, to be honest with you. The Olympic ended exactly a week ago. You know, spring training, Mets won. I know you're not a spring training fan. But
I hate spring training, man. It's overrated.
But we'll discuss that very, very shortly. NFL free agent signings, some trades. We'll talk a little bit about that Kerry Roach trade. Jets also acquiring Cromartie from the Cardinals. We'll discuss that a little bit also. You know, a little NBA. Unfortunately, of course, we'll talk yesterday's Knicks and Nets. And we'll do a little pro wrestling also towards the end. With the part two of the Monday Night War, when TNA officially competes with Monday Night Raw, literally at the same exact time. And, you know, we'll discuss what happened this week and our thoughts. But let's lead off with some baseball, shall we?
Yeah.
And
some spring training baseball. I'm very excited.
Well, you know, spring training is you know, it's pretty much unless if you're you know, a young guy trying to make a bulk, you know, try to get, you know, call up so you could try to make a name for yourself, or watch a veteran who's trying to, you know, keep his career, you know, his career's on life support, and he's just trying to, you know, resurrect his career, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, other than that, spring training doesn't really mean much.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm more of a fan of spring training than you are. I mean, you know, I actually watched today's game, Mets versus Nationals, Mets 1-6-5. I mean, most important thing is that no one got hurt, and, you know, the young guys are, you know, producing Mejia. But, I mean, Mejia didn't pitch today, but, you know, the Mets prospects are, you know, doing well. I mean, I know it's spring training, but so far they're living up to the you know, hype. Santos hit a inside the park grand slam. You didn't hear wrong. Inside the park grand slam.
Wow. How does that happen?
Oh, it's very simple. He hits a ball that would have been a double, and then afterwards,
all the running scores he did too.
Willie Harris, he chases after a ball. He bends down to pick it up, and he's like, he attempts to pick it up, but he leaves it. When he's about to pick it up, he just holds his hand up, like as if it's a ground rule double. But the problem is the ball didn't go over the wall. And the umpire didn't say the ball was, you know, he didn't motion it was a ground rule double. And, you know, he just was like putting his hand up like if it was a ground rule double. And, you know, Santos chugged along, you know, from third. You know, he scored, you know, the inside the park grand slam.
Wow.
Which I hope Santos and some of the Mets have some of that, you know, say that for, you know, April and beyond.
Yeah, they need to carry that into the regular season.
Yeah.
But spring training is a waste of time, man.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, it is, but...
And for the fans, I mean, not for the players, because I know the players, you know, they have to get some warm-ups in, and they have to practice, and they have to get back in baseball shape. I know, I understand that, but as a fan, I mean, I can't watch it. I just can't.
Yeah, like I said, I'm more of a fan than you are. I watch a little bit. See, you know, missing baseball, you know, I haven't seen it since, you know, early October, you know, because the season happened to, with the Mets season, you know, happened to end, you know, the schedule, you know, this year, you know, the season ended early October instead of late September. So, you know, haven't seen baseball in a while, and, you know, around that time, everybody's optimistic about their team. I would assume
even
Royals and Pirates fans as well, but, you know. You know, it's good, you know, good to see a little baseball, you know, as long as the guys stay healthy. But, of course, you know, the Jose Reyes, he got, well, this was a non-baseball related injury, but notice that he has an imbalance in his thyroid. So they're going to evaluate him tomorrow. And right now it looks like it's going to be a week before he performs any baseball activities.
Mm. Do you think this could be HGH related?
I don't think so. But then again, you never know. But there's people, you know, that had, you know, thyroid problems and they never took an HGH. So
yeah, that's true.
Maybe the timing might be a little questionable because just a couple of days ago, you know, he had the the FBI questioning him because him, Delgado, Beltran, A-Rod. And some other players, Torres, that female swimmer, Olympic swimmer.
Yeah.
The Summer Olympics, she's like 41. She's one of the, they all had the same doctor that they visited, Dr. Galea. And the reason why there's such controversy is because one of Dr. Galea's assistants, he was caught in Mexico trying to smuggle in some HGH. So, I mean, that's the reason why FBI is, you know, questioning, you know, all these players about, you know, whether, you know, if they took any HGH or any illegal performance enhancement substances.
Well, you know, I'm not saying that these players took HGH, but where there's smoke, there's fire.
Oh, yeah, generally speaking, it is, but I can't give
anybody the benefit of the doubt these days.
Well, yeah, that is true. I mean, I don't think Reyes did it, but then again, you never know. I mean, I'm not gonna be, you know, naive and, you know, yeah, you know, like a, you know, like a 2-year-old with a temper tantrum and say, no, it's not true. They're Mets. They would never cheat. But I mean, seriously, who knows? I mean,
yeah.
Hey, I mean, everybody, you know, pretty much mostly people, you know, in sports, you know, they wanna, you know, like the saying goes, you know. It ain't cheating unless if you get caught. So everybody want to try to get an edge.
And, you know, you
look
can't
at the pitchers.
Trust and believe these players nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, there's a, you know, ever since the steroid era, you know, there's been a question mark, you know, with people's performances. I mean, you don't know if it's all legit or if it's, you know, if they were aided with any substances.
Performance-enhancing drugs.
So who knows, but until, you know, like they say in court, you know, you're innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah.
So, you know, we got, you know, until otherwise, they're all innocent.
Innocent until proven guilty. I don't think anybody was saying that about A-Rod last year.
Well, I mean,
everybody was saying he was guilty from the start, so.
He admitted himself?
Yeah, but before that, even before that, though, before he admitted it, people were saying he was guilty. They didn't even give him the benefit of the doubt, so.
I did. I mean, I didn't say he didn't do it. I didn't know if he did it or not. I mean, I was surprised when it came out he did it. I mean, sure, he hit, you know, productive numbers, but this guy, you know, people were saying for years, oh, he's going to be, when he breaks Barry Bonds' record, you know, he's going to make the home run record clean. I mean, it always crossed my mind. Hey, what about, you know, everybody, you know, all these media people, you know, news writers and, you know, reporters and all that stuff. They were saying, you know, hey, once, you know, and, you know, Yankee fans also, you know, saying that, hey, once he breaks the record, you know, he's going to make the record clean again. But, I mean, it did cross my mind. Hey, what about if he is, he could be, you know, he could be on the stuff too. But it crossed my mind, but, you know, like, hey, Until proof, who knows? Because it looks like a lot of people have been taking stuff.
And in baseball, there's no innocent until proven guilty. There's none of that.
Well, yes. That's the
either guilty or you didn't know that you took it.
Well, that's what they all say, you know, the people who get caught. You know, they're like, hey, you know, I didn't know, you know.
Yeah,
hey,
exactly.
You know, the doctor gave me something, you know, hey, I didn't... You know, I didn't know what the stuff is. And these guys are so, you know, cautious about what food they eat. I mean,
yeah,
I'm talking about the healthy people. I'm talking about, like, the professional players. I'm not talking about the players who show up, like, I don't know, 50 pounds overweight and, you know, they, you know, let themselves go. They don't really, you know. And, you know, they just, you know, don't have that work ethic to, you know, try to better themselves as a player.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about, like, the professional guys who you see, you know, show up in, you know, in shape. And they're so cautious what they eat, what they drink, and all that stuff. So, of course, they have to know what stuff they inject into their bodies, you know, allegedly, for some of the players.
Yeah, and then they say, oh, I didn't know I took this and that. Come on, man. Don't lie.
Oh, and you know what the people say when they do get caught? They say, oh, I didn't take steroids to help, you know, my numbers out. I took it to, help me, you know, heal so I could, you know, get back on, to play.
Yeah.
You know, Pettit, I mean, he was one of the most honest, you know, people who, you know, who came out that they took HGH.
Yeah.
You know, people, pretty much, I mean, he was a likable guy, you know. People pretty much forgave him, you know. He pretty much said an honest thing. I mean, he did say that he did take it. He was one of the people that said he took it to get healthy. You know, but,
right.
I mean, for the most part, his thing was honest. But I think, you know, performance enhancement did also play a part in it, too. But
of course it does.
But yeah, Mark McGwire, I mean, this guy, when he came out that he, steroids, like I'd say about almost a month ago, he was saying how, that he took it so he could be healthy. But he didn't. He said that he doesn't think that it helped him out, which is the same as I think Barry Bonds said. You know, even though Barry Bonds never admitted that he took it. You know, they both saying that they don't believe it could help people hit the ball harder. You know, it's baseball's hand-eye coordination. But I mean,
it produces bigger muscles, and when you have bigger muscles, you have more power in your muscles.
Yeah, you have more strength to hit the ball out.
Yeah, and you have more strength, yeah.
But you know what my problem is? Maybe these guys, lie so much that they actually believe the stuff that they're saying.
Yeah, like Roger Clemens.
Yeah.
He actually believed he didn't take steroids.
They don't believe that they took steroids, and they don't think that the stuff helped. They think they still would have been this great. But if you look at Mark McGwire, I mean, if you take away the steroids, this guy was one of the prodigious home run hitters of all time. But once you take away the home run stuff, it's like, dude, that's all you have. It's like, you didn't really do, other than the home runs, you didn't really do anything in the game.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, sure, he won, he won championships and stuff like that. But I mean, other than that, he hasn't. Statistic-wise, he hasn't really done anything.
Yeah, but here's the thing. There wasn't any rule in baseball that said you couldn't do steroids, so, players took steroids, and, there's really nothing baseball can do about it. So, they weren't doing anything illegal at the time because there wasn't any rule in baseball that said you couldn't, so.
Well, I mean, that's true. I mean, it's just...
You don't want to break any rules.
The ethic-wise, you think that, the sports are playing, equal playing field, but, there's some cheaters. I mean, if you look back into sports, there's always been some, especially baseball, there's always been some type of black eye in the sports, whether it's the gentleman, agreement, from, like, the late 1800s to, like, 1947, which they, pretty much banned, African American and other minorities from playing the sport, and then you go to the later on, like in the 70s, 60s, when players are, let's say Phil Mikro, he doctors the ball, he's a knuckleballer, I'm trying to remember what he does. He does something to the ball to make it, I think to his spitter ball, he does something to the ball, illegal. He threw a spitter along with his knuckle, but now that pitch
outlaw.
Is illegal. Yeah, outlaw. You can't throw that pitch anymore. So there's always, pitchers and players who's always trying to, find some edge to, get away with stuff.
Yeah, well, like I said, that's why, you shouldn't give a, you can't really believe. I mean, you could give these players the benefit of the doubt, but still, I mean, you've seen a lot of incidents like this where players, their names are linked to HGH or steroids, and then they say they didn't do it. Then later on, there's proof that they did, but then they have to admit. So.
Yep. Or like Kenny Rogers a couple of years ago, when he in that series against the Yankees, he put on, I think, what was it, flaxseed oil? I'm trying to remember, pine tar. He put it in, he took it from, I think, his hat, and he was doctoring the ball, and the Yankees couldn't hit that guy.
Yeah, that's why that guy beat us that day.
And this guy this guy is arguably the worst postseason pitcher of all time.
Oh, yeah,
sure, he won championship with the 96 Yankees.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he was a member of the 99 team, and he was the pitcher who walked Andrew Jones to pretty much put the bases loaded to end the 99 NLCS.
Right.
Which, you know, Braves clinched and started one of the worst World Series for a Mets fan. The rematch of the 96 World Series when they went to the 99. And, of course, that would also be, that would also foreshadow the 2008, or actually the 2009 World Series with Phillies and Yankees. But that's another story for another time. But,
yeah, that guy's a bum.
Yeah, he's statistically one of the worst pitchers, postseason pitchers of all time. Regular season, man, this guy, you know, he's great. But once that calendar turns to October, man, this guy, he chokes. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, there's a lot of pressure, you know, pitching, you know, in the postseason. I can't blame the guy, you know, for, you know, letting the pressure get to him. But, I mean, come on, you're a professional, man.
Yeah.
Just try to, you know, relax and perform.
Yeah, once October comes around, you know, this guy gets scared and he can't pitch.
Real.
But, you know, F him.
I would echo that sentiment. He didn't go back for the Mets, that's for sure.
But, I mean, as far as spring training goes, man, I'm not watching that crap and, you know, I know these young players, you know, they got to test out these young players, see how these young players do in spring training. I know the veterans got to get their, their hits in, and pitchers have to, you know, they have to warm up and practice and get their pitches in and everything. But, man, I can't take spring training. I can't watch it. It's like a practice game, basically.
Yeah,
they're watching two teams practice against each other.
Yeah, the producer was just saying that today because I was talking to her earlier. I was, you know, during the Met and Nationals, I was saying how, I watched the, I look at the spring training. I mean, you know, see how it is, but my father, he literally takes spring training a lot more serious than I do, you know.
Wow.
I'm like, you know, I'd be like, you know, relax. I mean, don't get me wrong. When I'm watching the game, I want to see the team win, but I'm not gonna, it's not gonna be that serious. You know, I mostly look to see how, you know, the young guys or some guy who just, you know, who's trying to make the team, who's out of options, who, you know, a guy, you know, a feel good story, you know, a guy who's gonna try to make, you know, be the last guy in the bullpen, or a guy, you know, a guy who's been a good veteran who's trying to make his, you know, his debut as a Met, you know, if he makes the team. Other than that, you know, that's what I pretty much watch it for. You know, sure, it'd be nice to see them win. I mean, they did win 6-5 after Oliver Perez had his typical outing. But,
oh, yeah.
It's spring training, so.
Yeah, I mean, I won't get excited if I see a rookie pitcher no hit against the Yankees in spring training.
But, I mean,
mad or anything.
It's not going to be come on. It's not like they're pitching 9 innings anyway. You know what's crazy enough? There'll be like maybe two, three, you know, no-hit innings. I mean, as a matter of fact, Mejia, I think, did that Mejia did that the other day. He's the top pitching prospect from the Mets.
Oh.
Manuel, you know, he was getting some heat from the media because he said that the natural movement, this guy feels like a – like 95 miles per hour plus fastball. You know, he has a power curveball, power changeup. I mean, he has command of his fastball, but his other, his off-speed stuff, he needs more control. But here's the thing about this guy. This guy has a 95 mile per hour fastball, and it moves naturally as if it's like a cutter or
wow,
a slider or something. So when Manuel said this, he said that, you know, that the movement, you know, the natural movement of the pitch, it reminds him of, guess who? A guy from across town. Who do you think he's talking about?
Mariano?
Yep.
He said
it reminds him of Mariano. Then a couple of days later, maybe like 3 to 5 days later, Daryl Strawberry comes, you know, to motivate the team. He watches the guy, and he's like, he's marveling at the guy too, and he's like, wow, man, that guy is like, you know, this guy should be your closer. He reminds him of Mariano, and you know, of course, he was on the team at that time. And mind you, he didn't hear what Manuel said at the time. He didn't hear about Manuel stuff, and then people, you know, the reporters were giving him flack for saying that. He's like, yeah, I know, but you know, I was around when he was there. You know, the movement that he has, it looks like, you know, he has a potential, and you know, Mets are right now, because there's pressure from the Mets that they're thinking about, hey, you know, this guy's 20 years old, maybe he could be, you know, an 8-inning guy in the bullpen, but
yeah,
they're projecting him to. What were you gonna say?
Yeah, I mean, if he has the Mariano stuff, then yeah, they should put him in the bullpen.
Yeah, but they're projecting him to be a starter, and he's like the top starter. So they're debating whether or not to, you know, let him go down in the minors, you know, let him get his confidence as a starter, let him, you know, work on his other pitchers. So when he comes up maybe in September, you know, he'll have, you know, more confidence, you know, he'll be a starter. But now they're kind of wondering whether or not he's going to, you know, if they're going to make him start, you know, early in the, you know, put the team as a bullpen guy. Me personally, you know, I'm always for a guy, you know, I always want to see my guys, you know, my minor league guys come up and see how they are. But this guy is so special, man, that I think they should, you know, if they're not going to start the guy, they should keep him down, you know, and let him control, get command of his pitch, you know, his other pitches, so he could, you know, when he comes up, he could just stay and be a starter, dominate, man. But we shall see.
I think they should put him in the lineup. I mean, you know, the guy, he has Mariano stuff. And you know, right now in the pitching rotation, I mean, who does the Mets have? Ali Perez?
But if he comes up, the problem is he's going to be in the bullpen because, like you were alluding to, they have Santana, they have Main, they have Pelfrey, they have Perez. And most likely, the fifth starter is going to be most likely Jonathan Nease, who's another starter pitcher, starting prospect. That they expect to be a good number. The expectation on him is that he's going to be a real good number three. But the way how he's been pitching, you know, since he's been with the Mets, you know, when he came up late last year, is that he's pitched like a real good number two pitcher. But unfortunately, in his last start, he was trying to get a force play at first.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like they were gonna get a ground ball. He went to the bag, and they threw the ball to him, and he was gonna, you know, get the force out at first. But he did a split, and then he like tore his hamstring.
Oh,
and
wow.
Afterwards, I don't know. You might have seen the replays of it last year when he was warming up. You know, like after. You know, when he went back on the mound to try to warm up to see if he could pitch, he threw one of his pitches. After he threw the pitch, he fell down. His leg gave out, and he fell down.
I do remember that.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, and he hasn't pitched ever since. But he's pitching spring training. He's also been a guy who's pitched well, you know, this spring training. So he's the favorite right now. I mean, there's also Fernando Nieves, who pitched against the Yankees last year, who pitched great. You know, he's a veteran guy. You know, he don't really have that much major league experience. But this time with the Mets, also he had a freak accident, and then he injured himself, so he was gone for the year last year also. So I mean, he's another guy, and he's out of options. If he doesn't make the club as a starter or a reliever, they're gonna have to put him on the waivers, and you know, you put him on the waivers, some team could take him. Same thing with Figueroa, who's pitched well in September, but, you know, we shall see.
Mets have a lot of things to figure out. Figure out their rotation. They have to figure out their lineup. They still don't know whether they're going to put Reyes as batting leadoff or in that third spot yet.
Well, it looks like Manuel is committed to having Reyes pitch. I mean, rather, you know, bat third. If he stays healthy, Jose Reyes.
Who's going to be leadoff?
It looks like there's going to be, if Pagan makes the team, Pagan's going to make the team, but if Pagan, you know, wins his starting job, then it's most likely going to be him or Gary Matthews Jr. if he's still with the team, or even a dark horse, Fernando Martinez, a guy who was once the top prospect in the system. Now it looks like it might be Mejia or Ike Davis, the first baseman of the future. He's another guy who's been wowing people in spring training lately. Just the other day, Ike Davis hit a grand slam.
Oh, okay.
In spring training, and it was a shot.
So what back about there, Castillo? What about putting Castillo in the leadoff spot?
That's a possibility also, but Castillo looks like he's most likely going to be the second hitter. But he might, with Manuel, you never know. He might bat leadoff sometimes too.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like he's going to be in his natural second place hitter. Martinez, he had two home runs on Saturday. So, Fernando Martinez, the the, you know,
I think Pedro for a second there.
Yeah, he might have a shot, you know, at the job, but like Mejia, the pitcher who they the young 20-year-old pitcher that they compared to, you know, Mariano.
Right.
Stuff wise. It looks like they might leave Davis, Fernando Martinez, and Mejia in AAA and let them develop because, you know, those guys, you know, don't have, you know, a lot of minor league, you know, experience, especially with Fernando Martinez always hurt all the time. He hasn't had a full year healthy in the minor league. So
right.
Looks like they might leave those guys to, you know, start the year in AAA. And then towards maybe September call-up or if, you know, some injury, unfortunately, hopefully not to the extent of last year's injury plague season, you know, they might call those guys up and make them contribute to the
okay.
team.
And, you know, in Yankee camp, the Yankees, they're trying to figure out whether Yaba or Hughes is going to be in the bullpen. Or be their fifth starter. So there's a lot of debate going on right now.
Right.
See who's going to be the fifth starter and who's going to be in the bullpen.
Who you think should win the fifth starter spot? And who
I think,
do you want?
I mean, I think Hughes should be the fifth starter, and Jabba could be he should be in the bullpen because you know he's a good setup guy for Mariano. But
I agree with you 100%. You stole the words right out of my mouth.
But then again, Yaba, I mean, I could see him being a good starter. And Hughes, he was lights out in the bullpen when they put him in that bullpen role late last year.
That is true.
So I don't know right now. I'm 50-50 on whether Yaba or Hughes should go in the bullpen or be a starter. I don't know.
Yeah, I see your point. I mean, Hughes did pitch great out of the bullpen last year, but
yeah,
I think they should leave Jabba. They should put Jabba right back where he started his career. You know, as that eight inning setup guy, and the heir apparent to Mariano Rivera, whenever he retires and be the closer of the future. Even though Jabba, you know, would prefer to start as you know most relievers would, but. Yeah, I think they had something, you know, magical with Jabba coming out in the eighth, you know, striking guys out and doing that, I don't know, like some waddling like a duck shake thing. I don't know what the heck you call that gyration he does, you know, after he strikes somebody out.
Yeah, he gets excited and he pumps his fist, you know.
Yeah.
He's passionate. He's like almost your guy, K-Rod.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
No. But, I mean, Hughes and Jabba, they were both shaky when they started last year. But,
right.
I mean, Jabba, he did do real good in his first few starts, but, I mean, he's a little shaky up and down, and the U's also. So I don't know.
Another thing,
I just don't know.
And another thing that was bad about what they did to what the Yankees did to him was that they left him like the last couple of months. They left him. They said they're gonna let him start. But here's the weird thing: they're only gonna let him pitch 60 pitches, and they're not gonna make him go more than 3 innings.
Mm-hmm.
I know Yankees. You know they want to think they're above baseball. You know they think they want to reinvent the wheel. But if I'm not mistaken, don't a pitcher have to complete 5 innings for him to get a win? I don't see the point of what they're doing the Jabba. I mean.
That's true. That's the Jabba rules, though.
Yeah, I mean,
they're saying that that they don't want him to throw a certain amount of pitches a year, so his arm won't fall off like Kerry Wood and Mark Pryor.
Yeah, I understand.
You saw what happened in their careers when the Cubs, were pitching them a lot. Pitching a lot when they were young. So
yeah,
that happened to Jabba,
I understand that, but they could have did that by putting him in the bullpen because they're making him pitch 2 or 3 innings, and then they don't even let him get 5 innings to qualify for a win. So I'm saying they might as well just leave him in the bullpen because essentially they're just making him start. It's like they're making him do bullpen work in the starting rotation because there's no way for him to win if you're going to let him pitch 3 innings.
I agree with you.
I just thought it was kind of dumb with that decision. If they wanted to make him pitch 2 or 3 innings, every 5 games like a starter, just put him later in so he would have a shot, let's say if the starter doesn't, it's a tie game or it's a 5, they score a run. He actually has a shot to win. Whereas, it don't matter. They're leading 10-0, and he's a little shaky, or it's a scoreless game, and his pitch count is too high, and then they take him out, and he don't even have a chance to complete 5 innings, and he hasn't hit shot. That's what it's kind of, he has no chance to win. That's why I kind of find it kind of dumb when you're watching TV shows and they're like, ooh, Jabba hasn't won a game since August something. Well, he hasn't won since July or August, early August, because he hasn't had a chance to win because they take him out before he can pitch 5 innings. But if he's great or if he stinks.
Yeah, that's true. But there were a lot of starts where he was shaky, so they had to take him out anyway. So that has a lot to do with it, too. But, I get what you're saying. He should have let him pitch. I mean, forget the Jabba rules. But
yeah.
I mean, it's not just the Yankees. There are a lot of baseball teams right now. They're trying to be cautious with their young pitchers. They don't want
their young pitchers
to throw a lot of innings, in a year. So.
Yeah, I agree. Be cautious with your guys. You're spending millions of dollars on the guys, so of course you want to get your investment. But they should just let them in the bullpen, because essentially they're making him just pitch. Sometimes he's so bad he can't even finish the first inning. So it's like he might as well be in the bullpen, we can have a shot at when he comes into a game, whether it's tie or, or in the lead, he has or maybe trailing by one, that he has a shot of, winning the game if they, hold on to the lead or if, they rally and take the lead and he's the pitcher of record.
Yeah. It was kind of weird that Jabba rule, but I hope this year they do some. Whether he's a starter or a bullpen guy, I hope they handle him differently this year.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was just ironic that they say Jabba rules and he doesn't rule. The Yankee rules because they control what he does.
That's why it's called Jabba rules.
Yeah,
it's not really him. It's not really him ruling. It's the rules that they put on him.
I know, man. But switching gears to football, you heard about the Kerry Rhodes trade? They traded Kerry Rhodes just yesterday. to Arizona, I believe. No, wait, I'm trying to remember what team. I think it was Arizona. We traded him for some, you know, prospects.
Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah, I mean, it's about time because they wanted to get rid of him for a while now. So,
and then whatchamacallit, they also just I think what was it Friday they traded for Cromartie from you know, I believe he's from the Cardinals also, you know. For well, they traded away I think their third pick. The third round pick, and it has the potential to go. Depending on his performance, it will go to a sec. It'll turn into a second round pick. But the Kerry Rhodes one, they traded him away. Who I mean, other than this year, he's been a great Jet. But last year, he was a bust. You know, I think he only had like two sacks in the regular season.
Oh,
and this guy. Before he even had a sack, he was saying how, you know, he should be voted to the Pro Bowl, and he had no statistical stuff to even merit that.
Yeah,
this guy's going on past
down here.
Yeah, and
well, you know, guys have down years sometimes.
Well, yeah, but it looked like this guy had lost. You know, his nickname is like Hollywood. You know, wants to be an actor, so it looks like. Kind of like his buddy, Braylon Edwards. It looks like, you know, he wants to, you know, maybe he's not as focused on football as he is with his, you know, acting or modeling career, you know, whatever he wants to pursue, you know. You know, when he's not, you know, playing football.
Maybe he finds it again next year with the Cardinals.
Maybe.
Never know.
Because it had to take him getting benched from Rex Ryan for him to get motivated and finally get his first two sacks of the season. But
I think he'll be all right next year.
Yeah.
He has Marty, to be motivated now.
But Marty, he's definitely going to, you know, improve the defense. He's also a former Pro Bowler. So, you know, he could definitely... up out the, you know, the already great defense that the Jets had, you know, the number one ranked defense.
Mm.
So we shall wait and see. I don't know if I'm watching the ESPN news right now. It looks like Artes is making his best impression of his idol, Ron Artest. He dyed his hair blonde, and he has like this, like, It looks like their Knicks symbol on his head.
What?
It's not the Knicks symbol. But he has like some writing on his you know, his bleach blonde head. That's kind of like Carlton in Fresh Prince when he dyed his hair blonde when he was doing that Home Alone scream in one of those episodes. But hey, you know, I guess whatever works for him. But
yeah, they got great.
So they're showing because they're showing like this Orlando Magic versus Laker game, which happened earlier today.
Oh, who won?
Looks like Lakers is going to lose, and at end of the time they lost 96-94. Orlando Magic.
Yeah, Orlando's getting tough in the playoffs this year.
Yeah, especially they got the center, they got Carter. They improved 44-20. Lakers fall to 46-18. Hey,
yeah.
Well, you know, they could possibly be in the NBA finals with each other, but I doubt it. Most likely it'll be Lakers versus Cavaliers or
yeah.
Celtics.
That's what I think.
Yeah, the
LeBron.
Yep. Hopefully that guy comes up. But, shoot, the way how Knicks was playing yesterday, man, dude, been the NBA record most attempted free throws, I mean, rather three-pointers without making a shot. They went 0-for-18. 0-for-18.
That's unbelievable.
They were
0-for-18. Shoot a lot of three-pointers.
Yeah, man, it's like the same, man. You live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. This they live by this team this year, man. They've been living with the three ball, and they can't knock it down, man. They can't. It's like when they're down 2 points, two or less points, all they need to do is shoot to like tie the game or take the lead. That's when they try to shoot a three pointer. But then when they need a three pointer, you know, with the game on the line, they drive to try to, you know, to score a layup and get fouled, and then they don't get nothing.
Yeah, that's how it is with the Knicks.
They are so technically unsound. They don't have any basketball IQ.
They don't know the fundamentals.
They don't know anything. They only know about the millions of dollars they're picking up in, you know, in their, you know, their paychecks every year. That's all they know, man. It's a joke.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
There's a caller on the line.
Hello, caller.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh,
yes?
Hey.
That's what hanging up on me.
What was that?
I believe that
this
was...
This caller's never calling back, you guys.
Okay.
What's going on? Hello?
Caller hung up.
Is that was your retribution for you hanging up on her last week. I guess she got you back.
That's fun.
Oh, by the way, she said the music is All American and Rejects. Give you hell. So.
Oh, yeah, I noticed that.
he noticed that.
Don't you think they're the devil, Willie Boy?
Say what?
Didn't you say you think they're the devil?
Did I what?
No, I remember you said you thought they were the devil. All American.
I'm not the one that played it. I'm saying she's the one that. That's the song she was playing.
No, but I know you don't like them, right?
Well, I mean, I'm not a fan of them. I mean, that's her, you know, her thing.
Oh, no, your sister likes them, but you don't.
Well, yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, it's kind of, you know, offensive that they got. I mean, sure, hey, I mean, there's some people, you know, they're not into, you know, Christian or Bible stuff. I mean, that's their thing, you know, but, I mean, all in the Bible, I mean, that's kind of. Oh, wait, my fault. She clarified it.
Huh?
Never mind what I said. Describe what I said. Never mind.
Okay.
I was talking about somebody else. Another group. My fault. Then you were talking about... Oh, right, yeah. My fault, then. Yeah.
You have to speak the facts when you know it.
Oh, my fault. She's right. I'm talking about Green Day. All American Rejects.
Oh, right, yeah. That's Green Day.
Right.
Yeah, I got confused too.
What you said? Yeah. Well, I guess I'm an American idiot.
I like All American Rejects.
Yeah, I have no problem with them. I mean, yeah, they have the Move Along. You know. That's some good song.
Yeah.
We both got confused with Green Day and American Rejects.
Yeah. I forgot.
That's funny how we knew what we were talking about, but... we knew what we were talking about, but we were saying the wrong thing.
Yeah. Your sister corrected us.
Oh, hey, that's why we need a producer.
Oh, yeah.
But,
I guess what's going on in TNA right now?
Hey, you read my mind again. Yeah, I was going to move on to, you know, a little professional wrestling. Well, tomorrow's a big day, you know, in pro wrestling. The Monday Night Wars Part 2. This is the second night. Tomorrow is going to be the night when TNA officially moves into the Monday Night War. This is going to be their first official night permanently. They're going to be on at the same exact time Monday Night Raw was. Plus, you remember the first time they did this was January 4, when Hulk Hogan made his debut in TNA, his re-debut TNA.
Mm-hmm.
And
what's going to be the name of the show?
It's going to be TNA.
Just TNA on Monday?
Yeah, TNA is going to be on.
Yeah, but they're not going to have the name of a. They're not going to name a show or anything like Monday Night.
It's TNA Impact. That's the name of the show. TNA Impact.
Oh, just like the Thursday one?
Yeah, the Thursday show is moving to Monday.
Oh, I thought they would have a Monday show and a Thursday show.
No. Just like what they did on January 4th when Hulk Hogan debuted.
Oh, okay, I get it.
They're moving TNA Impact from Thursdays to Monday.
Oh.
And I'm hoping, like they did the last time, January 4th, is that they're going to, when they move it to Monday, they'll replay it on Thursday.
Oh, okay.
I hope that's what they do, like they did the last time.
Right.
So I could get a shot, me and other people who, you know, they'll be watching WWE, will have a shot to see what happened on TNA.
Right.
Because Hulk Hogan's going to make he's going to fight, you know, in the TNA ring. Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair are going to come out of retirement.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be Hulk Hogan and Abyss. Yeah, tag team and versus the TNA champion, the phenomenal AJ Styles, and the Nature Boy Ric Flair, who Nature Boy is grooming AJ since he's AJ Styles' manager, he's grooming him to be the next Nature Boy.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that's gonna be the main event tag team match. And the band, the NWO, formerly known as the NWO because they can't use their rights because WWE owns the rights to the NWO, they call themselves the band. That it's, of course, officially over because a couple of weeks ago, other than that, I mean, Kevin Nash and his tag team partner, Eric Young, they have beef with Scott Hall. And Six Pack, formerly known as X Pack, you know, they have a beef with each other. Mr. Kennedy, which is now, he's now called Mr. Anderson because of course he lost.
Mr. Anderson.
Yeah, he lost his rights to Mr. Kennedy because of course WWE owns that name.
Yeah.
He has a feud with Kurt Angle, and this week, they have a rivalry now that pretty much Kurt Angle comes out with this chain that he got from an army guy. I don't know if it's true or just for storyline purposes. That a guy, you know, he gave it to him. You know, a soldier gave him his dog tag. And whatchamacallit, you know, to symbolize, you know, the troops are with him and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Kennedy took the chain from him, beat him up, cut Kurt Angle's forehead up, and then spit on the dog tag.
Wow.
But Kurt Angle and Mr. Anderson have a feud over that. And then you have, you know, the Divas, beautiful people, versus
those
their
girls.
Yeah. What you said?
I love those girls.
Oh, yeah. They definitely live up to the title.
They should come to WWE.
Yeah, they should. And they're going against their former leader, Angelina Love. So they have a feud with their former mentor. She turned into, you know, a good girl now. So she has beef with her former beautiful people group, and they added a new girl, they added a new girl to their group like a month or two ago called Lacey Von Erich, which, of course, you know, she's worthy enough to be a beautiful people, if you know what I mean.
I gotta watch TNA, man.
You should definitely check it out, especially on Thursday. Hopefully they'll replay it on Thursday, because I'm still going to watch Raw if they give TNA, you know, the reruns now on Thursday. Hopefully they'll do that. I'll check it out on Thursday.
So now it'll be on every Mondays now?
Yeah.
But aren't they scared that they might get crushed by WWE?
Well, yeah, but then again, you know, they're, you know, Hogan and them are saying how, you know, this is the moment they've been waiting for to try to, you know, provide competition with WWE to see if they, you know, if they could go toe-to-toe with them and stuff like that. So it's now or never now.
If they get crushed, they're going to go out of business.
Yep.
Better watch out.
Well, I hope this, they give WWE competition, because WWE has been getting a little bit better, you know, ever since TNA has been stepping up their game.
Yeah, they have.
And especially SmackDown. I mean, I was the SmackDown writer for writing for Raw, because SmackDown is definitely the flagship show of WWE. Even though in the WWE world, I can't say WWE universe, because the WWE universe, which are the fans, would agree that SmackDown is better, but on the show, in the WWE, you know, organization, they believe Raw is still the flagship show.
Yeah.
But it's based on history. Because Raw, this guest host stuff is really killing the show.
Yeah, it's time to stop that.
By the way, they're going to have Chris Angel guest host tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. And do you know that in 2 weeks they're going to have the guys from the Hot Tub Time Machine host the show?
Oh, really?
Yeah, in 2 weeks.
Oh, and then the week before that, I think the 15th, they're supposedly going to have Stone Cold Steve Austin guest host. That's the one you're definitely going to have to circle on your calendar right there.
Definitely.
And, you know, Rock should be, guess what, if this thing still continues, Rock should be coming back in the summertime and most likely guest host one of those shows.
And I know you can't wait for that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I hope he comes out of retirement and faces HBK. If HBK defeats Undertaker, or if he comes back as a commissioner or whatnot. But we shall see. But that's if, you know, Rock, you know, plans on, you know, coming out.
Sorry, wrong ending.
Hey, you gotta push it to the limit, man, because we're getting towards that limit, man. We're getting towards the finish line, man. So
yeah,
you know, we gotta push it to the limit, my friend. Try to improvise, try to, you know, try to get us to there. But all right, let's, you know, tomorrow should be you know, a fun day for, you know, for wrestling fans. Hopefully the Bret Hart story with Vince McMahon, you know, gets to that next level. But we'll talk more about that later. I want to thank the listeners and, of course, the producer for giving us the call. And I want to thank, you know, the listeners out there for continuing to listen to the show. Each and every week, I appreciate that. And also, feel free to call anytime you want. Thanks for the support. I want to thank you, Macaulay, for coming out to the show.
No problem.
Thank the producer as well for coming out to the show and giving us a call. I want to thank everybody. God bless you. Peace, everybody.
Later.
I don't know where to put this, but she has no beef with you.